Well, who needs Rob? Be sure you don't tell him I said that. But Donna, thank you for filling in for Rob. I think that's great. Very, very fine music. And I have to also, right at the beginning, say, how about those Bells of Sun River, huh? Yeah. Wow. You know, when the choir was unavailable because of the COVID kind of thing, and so we didn't have that kind of singing and music, and then for the bells to repeatedly fill in and do it so beautifully, it's a joy. Thank you very much, Shelley, and your crew for doing that. All right, we have some assisting today. We have Jenny and Dave Long, who will be my assistants. Readers, yes, but more than that, assistants, certainly. And, of course, you already met Donna, and that's great. And, of course, we'll have the bells singing as well. And let's see, anybody else that's helping out today? Mitzi. All of you are helping out, yeah.
Mitzi's helping out.
Who?
Mitzi.
Mitzi, who's Mitzi? Hi, Mitzi. You know, I think it's kind of interesting because we take for granted some things. And here in this congregation, in spite of some of the, you know, location problems and all that kind of stuff going on, we have wonderful music, and it goes on week to week to week, and we kind of take it for granted. And thanks a whole bunch, Mitzi and Donna and all the rest of the bells and everybody else that does it so well. All right. Welcome this morning to you, brothers and sisters, for our service. Pastor Nancy is not here. She did ask me to give you an announcement. I don't know if you're aware, but this past week, D.C. Bourne, former member of this congregation and a resident of Sun River, has died. And Rita, of course, is the widow who left and mourning the loss of D.C. Pastor Nancy was with him the day before he died, which I thought was incredibly good timing. So that's a sad thing. But he'll be included, Rita will be included in the prayers this morning as well. All right, we have a mission moment, and we'll call on Mr. Gary Carlson. Where are you, Gary? There he is, and he will share that with you.
Our SCF budget, a reminder to you all, supports 5 international missions for a total of $7,500 in our annual budget. And Shirley and I are champions for one of those missions, which was started by some dear friends of ours 35 years ago. And it's called A Promise of Health. Buenos dias y cálidos saludos, which means good morning and warm greetings from Dr. Soledad, the doctor for A Promise of Health, in Yanuatlan, in the province of Oaxaca, Mexico, and Bill and Barbara Grinnell, founders and officers. Today I have a special message to all of you from Dr. Soledad. She writes, "Dear friends, I want to send to you my profound thanks for your donations that have made possible the building of our clinic in my home village of Yanwatlan. You have helped create a modern miracle for the people of our community. When the clinic opens, it will be the first time in generations that they will have access to a doctor and medicine. For this, we shall be eternally grateful." End quote. I am pleased to report to all of you that within a month, the clinic and doctor's residence will be completed with a public opening planned for the month of May. Construction has been ongoing for a year now. At that time, anyone who is in need of medical care can come to the clinic for help. I have been privileged to see photos of each step of the construction, and I can testify to the skill and hard work invested in its construction, though most everything was done without the benefit of modern tools. It is certainly built for many, many years to come, and for far less than this structure would have cost in the United States. Your donation dollars have been very well spent. But now approaches an even more exciting time when the doors of the clinic are open to those who are sick and in need of medical care. The communities of Yanwatlan and the surrounding villages are populated with poor indigenous people who until now have not had accessible or affordable medical care. Some of these villages cannot be accessed by a road. Think about that for a while. That is the promise of a promise of health. For 22 years, this small US-based nonprofit organization run by volunteers has brought medical care to the indigenous people living in poverty in two of Mexico's remotest states, Yucatan and Oaxaca. Your generosity is giving these people, the Mixteca people, a brighter day. Thank you also to the Endowment Fund Board for stepping up with support of this construction project at a critical time earlier this year. Let me say in closing, que Dios los bendiga a todos el este maravilloso regalo, el regalo de la buena salud. Meaning, may God bless all of you for this marvelous gift, the gift of good health. If you'd like to learn more about A Promise of Health, I encourage you to visit www.promiseofhealth.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, Carol and Don, come lead us on Thine is the Glory. Stand if you can.
Thank you.
Arise to join our risen Christ. Lift up your voices. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your hearts to join our risen Lord Jesus. Reach out to each other, even as our risen Lord reaches out to all of us. May our lives be renewed and blessed by the power of the resurrection. Be seated, please.
There is a lovely song by the Irish artist Enya entitled, How Can I Keep From Singing? Though it is written by an American Baptist minister named Robert Lowry. The message is that whatever is dark or unkind in the world, there is enough true good around us to keep us singing. Likewise, even though Peter was called before the Sanhedrin, and threatened because the disciples insisted on telling the great news of Jesus' resurrection, the truth was so good that he could not keep quiet.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand, and as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read responsibly Psalms 150.
Hallelujah. Praise God in his holy temple.
Praise him for his mighty acts.
Praise him for his excellent grace.
Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn.
Praise him with lyre and harp.
Praise him with timbrel and dance.
Praise him with strings and
viol. Praise him with resounding cymbals.
Let everything that has breath.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The revelation to John encourages Christians to keep the faith no matter the circumstances. Words fit for ancient times and modern. Here is the beginning of the revelation, written as a letter to seven churches and opens with praise for God and for Jesus the Christ.
A reading from the Revelation to John, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the word of the Lord.
The hour is the evening of the first Easter, but the location is secret to protect Jesus' followers from vigilant crowds. The word on the street was that disciples of the Nazarene would be attacked with impunity. At this moment, very few knew of Jesus' resurrection. And precisely at this moment, Jesus appears to his beloved, bringing peace. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood before them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated.
Thank you.
the bells of Sun River. And what I don't need is for any one of you to say, well, Frank, if you'd skip the sermon, we could listen to another 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the bells. But I'm not going to do that, so I just hope you understand, okay? Thank you, bells. Very, very beautiful. Also, thank God for good old Didymus. I don't know about you, but I really appreciate Thomas, the twin, the doubter. Yeah, I like him. He gives me a new lease on life, actually. Whenever some smiley-faced Christian tells me how God has worked out everything in his life and things are just super, just so perfect, it's wonderful. Bless the memory of Thomas, who protects me from the onslaught of TV-type preachers. You know, one of the blessings, however, is that there are fewer TV preachers now than there used to be. And that's a good thing, I think. Because I had trouble with those TV preachers, who are pretty convincing, and of course they're perfect. And that's probably what bothered me, you know. And then they have their gorgeous wives, who are also perfect. If only one of those wives had false teeth or a kidney stone, or at least once in a while smeared her makeup, it would be a real blessing. Or if the TV evangelist just once complained of hemorrhoids. But they never do, you see. They never do. All is good. Those folks make me feel kind of lousy, to tell you the truth. Everything about being Christian is positive and perfect and nice. I don't dare have a toothache and justify it. You know, can't do that without shredding my witness as a man of small faith. Then right in the midst of my concerns and my doubts, along comes Thomas. Right after Easter Sunday, when we're still basking in the glow of Easter, singing Easter fight songs with the trumpet call ringing in our ears. Isn't that wonderful? Easter, you bet. Right then, Thomas stands up and says, nope, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. From the inner depth of his humanness, with balanced logic and good common sense, Thomas says, that couldn't be. It couldn't be. Unless you show me, it couldn't be. Attaboy, Thomas. That's the way to speak up. That's the way to take on all the righteous people. Let the other disciples hallucinate if they want. You know better, because God couldn't, and he wouldn't do it this way. Empty tomb and all that nonsense, no, no, that's not possible. Well, I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that there's a bit of Thomas in everyone, and certainly a bit of Thomas in me as well. True for me, and maybe true for you as well. And if that's true, what happened next is meant for more than Thomas. Jesus appears again. This time Thomas is with the rest of the disciples. And he goes directly to Thomas and says, Thomas, put your finger in my hand and put your hand in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. No discussion about what's possible or impossible. No disgust with that Thomas would question God. Just believe, Thomas. Believe. And then comes likely, brothers and sisters, the greatest confession that has ever been made known to humankind. My Lord and my God. There's an interesting sequel to Thomas' confession. Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I believe that good word is for every doubter who ever lived, including myself. I remember one lady that I called on repeatedly when she was not feeling well. Her name was Mrs. Sievertson. Nice lady. But she had some problems, and she had some doubts, and she expressed them to her pastor. She had some doubts about this whole business of Easter and the risen Christ and so on. Well, let me put it this way. The Lord's message is for other doubters in the crowd. Maybe it could include even some of you. Like the doubter who can't comprehend how some water splashed on a wee baby can be so very special and mean so very much. How can that be? Or that a bit of bread and wine can carry such meaning, such power. And now, only bread, because we can't use the wine temporarily because of the COVID, I guess. So it's just bread. How can that be so special? Or what about the doubter who isn't sure that there's a God at all? Or the grief-stricken doubter who cries from the anguish of a broken heart? What sort of God would permit such pain and suffering? If God is in control, like he's supposed to be, according to you, Pastor, why doesn't he stop the evil and the hurt and the tragic and the hateful? Why doesn't he interfere in Ukraine right now and stop the vicious killing? And then there's the doubter who may be sitting where you're sitting, who wonders about recited prayers and ancient creeds, who has trouble with simple math like 3 equaling 1 and 1 equaling 3, who can't quite handle Son of God and Son of Man all in the same breath, who wants to feel something more, or at least feel something. Young men and maidens, old men and children, doubters in the crowd, unless I see. There is more than one doubter who has stood where Thomas stood. And like Thomas, sometimes we are left to struggle with our doubts. 8 days, or 8 years, or in my case, 88 years plus now. Don't worry, brothers and sisters. I have news for you. The Lord is patient. He's used to doubters, you see. He seems, in fact, to appreciate them because they provide fertile ground for the Spirit to work. Doubting can be a good thing. For in the midst of those doubts, God comes to touch us. Maybe in the cry of a newborn baby. What a wonderful statement that is for the power of God. Or maybe in the kind word of a friend. How important that can be. Or in the caring act of a Christian brother or sister. And in that process, he comes and says, put your fingers in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Trust me. Believe. John puts it another way. Now Jesus did many signs which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, Lord, there are doubters in the crowd. There are doubters in the crowd. Is it really you? Risen? Jesus? Easter? All that? Do you really have power over life and death, yours and ours as well? And the answer comes, yes, my doubting friends. Over the centuries comes the wonderful confession of one doubter and another, and still another, including Mrs. Sievertson on her deathbed. She had trouble with her pastor's words, but I saw her the day before she died, and I had a prayer with her. And then she responded. You know what she said? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. The words of Thomas echoed over the years for Mrs. Sievertson. Brothers and sisters, that would be my prayer and my hope for each and every one of us, that when it comes time to leave this life, those might be among our final words, my Lord and my God. And that will make all the difference. Heavenly Father, thank you for Thomas. He makes me feel somewhat comfortable when I have my doubts and my questions and my concerns. And perhaps that's true for each and every brother and sister here today. And you tell us, that's okay. But remember, put your finger in my hand and your hand in my side. And believe. Help us, each and every one, to have our final words also be, my Lord and my God. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray for all people according to their needs.
God of the living, in your plan, our Lord Jesus destroyed the power of death. May that wonderful act of grace inspire and guide all of us to promote peace and justice throughout our troubled world.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
And especially this morning, may we remember the many people whose lives have been impacted by the presence of the war in Ukraine. Let us pray for those in our congregation who are ill. Polly, Mike, Carol, Pat, Jan, Joan, Jenna, Kyle, Joe, Shirley, Ken, Doug, Cliff, Melanie, Dana, Dick and Marianne, Maxford, Elizabeth and John Scott, Nicholas and Michelle, Bev, Jenny, Olivia, Bergen, Rich, Mariana, Aiden, William, Susan, and Harry. And especially this morning, may we remember Rita in her hour of loss. We pray for these brothers and sisters and all others who name in our hearts.
Help us, Lord.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Will you share that peace with one another? Boy, you people just want to keep greeting each other. Oh. See, that'll be the next thing. They'll say, Brocker, if you'd reduce that sermon to about 2 minutes, we could just have a lot of fun fellowshipping together. I'm really kind of nervous about the whole thing. Okay. I've been told to remind you there's a note out there for the or a card for the Northcote family, and you were invited to sign that and to share a note if you wish this morning as you leave, okay? Now, we do have time for announcements, and a couple of people have indicated they want to make announcements, so let's make them. Who's up? Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
I don't know how many of you are quick to check your email first thing in the morning. Some go, yes, no, not happening. Okay. I want to share with you that you now own a building. It has been recorded. The signings took place last Thursday and remotely through in Romania on Friday morning. And the title company sent the documents to the county, and it was officially recorded on Friday afternoon. So there is no more whatever. It is now only the home of SCF that we're going to talk about. And none of this would be possible without you answering the call that God put on your heart to be generous and to make this dream come true. So thank you all very, very much. And I ask you in that email to raise a glass in celebration. So it might have to happen at brunch. But congratulate each other on where we're going. It has, you know, there's a proverb that says, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. We have taken many steps and we have gone many miles on this journey. So today we celebrate and take a breath and appreciate how far we've come. And we get ready for what lies ahead, because the journey is not done yet. Okay? But I do want you to celebrate today all that we have accomplished. So thank you all very, very much.
I think that applause reflects the appreciation of our leadership in terms of this whole process, which has been tedious and long, but obviously now rewarding. Another announcement.
Another announcement, yes. Well, after that spectacular announcement, that's pretty exciting for the landscaping committee, because we can start to work. We were not going to be able to work till it closed, so we're open for business, which is your lucky day. Because we have openings to sign up, and we'd like to start Thursday. And it's a cleanup type of operation, so it's needles, cut a few bushes, move a few rocks, but we're not going to make it the Taj Mahal today. But we're going to clean it up because it's been ignored, you know, for quite a few years. So I have made up this very complicated sign-up sheet. My wife printed it, because you can't read mine. So it'll be at the back of the church when you leave, and you can sign up and leave your phone number, and we'll be in touch. But the original plan was going to be Thursday, and it was canceled because we hadn't closed escrow. But hallelujah, it's closed. So appreciate a few of you signing up. It's spring. You want to get out in the yard. You want to do something. Come to the church. If you sign up, then we'll let you know the time. Probably be in the afternoon when it's warmest. There you go. Thanks again. What a great day for the church today. Thank you.
You can print your right.
So I suppose that I'll be threatened if I don't show up on Thursday, huh? No, I think that'll be great. Okay. Any other announcements to be made? Okay, we'll continue with the worship offering. Thank you. response, please stand.
As we prepare for our Lord's Supper, will you join me in our confession and absolution? Lord Jesus, we turn to you as people. We acknowledge our willful rebellion, our insistence on doing things our way. We confess our failures to treat people as the brothers and sisters we intend them to be. We are painfully aware of our self-centered attempts to control and manipulate. Bless with your journeys into darkness, and so guide and empower us.
Now, in the name of the one who came, is coming, will come again, I declare you to be Easter people. Easter people. We have been made whole through the precious body of Jesus, our Redeemer. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters, all is ready. Come, eat as our Lord offers us to do. Be with us. Be seated, please.
Thank you.
Please stand for the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Peace be with you. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let's shout it out, okay? Wonderful song. Okay, in the name of our Lord, risen Lord Jesus Christ, go forth as Easter people. Amen.